Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk with Deacon John Devlin, who is a global fellow for Catholic Relief Services. So much good work that they are doing, so many interesting things, so many challenging places around the world. Deacon John's going to talk about all of that, so please stick around for that portion of our program a little bit later. Gene Young also with news in just a little bit. First, the readings from this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, Monsignor Charles Mangan with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Fear the Lord your God, and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more in keeping with the promises of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many, because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him. Since he lives forever to make intercession for them, it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and those for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weaknesses to be high priests, but the word of the oath which was taken after the law appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Chris Motes, Executive Director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference, recently addressed the priests and deacons of the diocese at Clergy Days. Motes discussed pro-life, family, and religious freedom issues. The clergy of the diocese gather each fall for education, reflection, and relaxation at Clergy Days. You can read and see more about Clergy Days in the November edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the U.S. bishops will consider endorsing the sainthood cause of Sister Thea Bowman, the granddaughter of slaves and the only African-American member of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, who transcended racism to leave a lasting mark on Catholic life in the United States in the late 20th century. The request from Bishop Joseph R. Kopasz of Jackson, Mississippi, where Sister Bowman grew up and also where she ministered in her last years while taking care of her aging parents, while subsequently fighting cancer herself, will be considered during the bishop's November 12th through the 14th Fall General Meeting in Baltimore, Maryland. In ecclesiological terms, Bishop Kopasz is asking whether it is advisable to initiate the sainthood cause at the local level, which is required by a 2007 instruction from the Vatican's Congregation for the Causes of Saints. Sister Bowman, who died in March 1990 of cancer at age 52, has been declared a servant of God. She was a trailblazer in almost every role, first African-American religious sister from Canton, Mississippi, first to head an Office of Intercultural Awareness, and the first African-American woman to address the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops in June of 1989. Margaret Alsop of Cumming, Georgia, always considered her nun dolls to be like friends. So when it came time to look for a permanent home for her beloved figurines in late 2017, she found a place that would help preserve the historical legacy of the women religious these replicas represent. The 75 carefully and meticulously created nun dolls in Alsop's collection are now in the care of the Archdiocese of Atlanta's Office of Archives and Records, where they are in full display. These dolls not only offer the Archdiocese historical context to women religious, they've spurred the curiosity of visitors, said Angelique Richardson, director of the Office of Archives and Records. Richardson said it's been fun to see people's reactions when they come to the archives office and notice all the dolls together on a table looking across the room. Visitors try to find the orders of the nuns who taught them or the ones who are family friends. Educated by the Sisters of St. Mary of Oregon, Alsop sewed the dolls' traditional habits by machine from authentic materials provided by Catholic sisters whose congregations are represented. Every Sunday, the Office of Archives will feature a Sister Sunday image on its Facebook page at www.facebook.com/ArchAtlantArchives, $1 a week for 75 weeks. Synodality, a key concept of Pope Francis's papacy, was used repeatedly in the final document of the Synod of Bishops on Young People, the Faith and Vocation Discernment. In simple terms, synodality means walking together with every member of the church, recognizing that the grace of baptism makes one part of the body of the church and therefore responsible for its life and mission. The church must really let herself be given shape by the Eucharist that she celebrates as the summit and source of her life, being like the bread made from many stalks of wheat and broken for the life of the world, the synod document said. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Great, Gene. Thanks so much for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Deacon John Devlin. Deacon Devlin is a global fellow for Catholic Relief Services. He also serves at St. Michael's Parish. He also serves as the Director of Formation for the Deacon Program in the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Man, you got a lot of hats.
Lots going on, but that's all right. I love it.
Keeps you busy and out of trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, but we want to focus this morning on Catholic Relief Services because I know you had a chance recently to do kind of an annual updating, I guess, that they do for all the global fellows.
Yes, we were just in Baltimore last week for a few days. It's a quick meeting, but it's very beneficial to us as global fellows because they update us on everything that they're doing. And this year, being their 75th anniversary, they really had a lot to talk about in about their history and where they've been in the world and where they're heading in making the world a better place.
You know, always, I think, but perhaps particularly right now, given kind of the struggles that are going on in our world and even in our church, having an organization like Catholic Relief Services represent me as a Catholic makes me feel really good.
Yes, I would think it would. I think I would hope that all Catholics would feel that way because of the good work that they do. I've had just one experience with them out in the world and was just incredibly impressed with the efficiency, the compassion that they carry out their duties with refugees, with people who are, you know, in true and dire need of basic human services.
They do a couple of things. They do emergency response when there's disasters in different places around the world, but maybe more importantly than that, they do building in the meantime to try to help prevent some of the problems that ultimately come to places in the world where there's just trouble.
Right. Their favorite work is what they call development work.
Development, yeah.
Where they are in a place and can assist villages and peoples figure out what's the best way to go forward. They don't tell them this is what you have to do. They're
right
there to assist them in carrying out the programs that they believe these people are best suited to know, you know, that what in agriculture or in social things in their tribes and villages or whatever that happens to be.
It's sort of the old don't give them a fish, teach them how to fish.
Right. It's exactly that. And so that's what they love doing. They call it integral human development. IHD is their big buzzword at Catholic Relief Services about how they try to integrate the whole person in they knowing that a person needs more than just food or just more than a tomato patch. They need assistance in social, in human, in spiritual things, and they do whatever they can to make sure that the people get them. They don't provide all those services, but they try to connect them with them in their areas.
And as part of that, Deacon John, so that when the inevitable disasters come, which they do to all parts of the world, but that maybe there's something there to help deal with the disaster that comes.
Yes, exactly. They just experienced that in Ethiopia, where right now, of course, the drought situation there has become quite bad. They have, but it would have been much worse had not Catholic Relief Services been in there assisting the people years ago in trying to insulate themselves against what happens in Ethiopia now and then is droughts. Ethiopia is now experiencing it, of course, in a real tough way, but at least it held it off for a couple of years for them anyway because of the things that they were able to put together in agriculture and in ways of channeling the water that is available to irrigating their crops.
It's there's a lot of work in Africa, I know, because there's a lot of troubles in Africa. Some of it caused by colonization through the years. Some of it caused by nature. Some of it caused by tribalism that still exists. There's all kinds of factors, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And the colonization has been a big problem because tribal life in Africa prior to all of that for many tribes was very nomadic.
Right.
If it didn't rain in the Ethiopian area, they traveled somewhere else until they could find a place that was better suited for their life and for their crops and for what they needed to do with their livestock. I mean, now they can't do that because they're unable to cross borders and move around as freely as they could maybe a couple of hundred years ago.
Yeah, and then you try to force the creation of nations by merging tribes or putting tribes together that maybe for all of these centuries have been warring with each other, and the result is disaster.
Yes, it is. They look at Rwanda, look at the disaster that happened there.
Look at Sudan.
In Sudan, what's going on there with South and North Sudan. Look at right in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, look at Smithfield or John Morrell Foods, where they've had many of those experiences there where they didn't realize it, but were putting people with knives in the same area together that maybe shouldn't be.
Yeah, and so the tribalism, you know, it takes a while to deal with that issue.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's something. We're in Thanksgiving period now. I'll say it because we're in November. So to me, that means we're kind of approaching the whole Thanksgiving season. And I know for Catholic Relief Services, they're careful how they make their pitch, but they really do need the support. That if we can be thankful for something, maybe we can share something to help them.
Yeah, they are very careful. They know that parishes and dioceses have all sorts of needs, all sorts of people coming to them for assistance, lots of things going on. So they're careful in how they ask. They do the rice bowl every year in Lent, but beyond that, they still need people to give on an ongoing basis, on a monthly basis, which is what I do, and I'm sure what thousands do. You just have it come automatically out. And and they're very careful about asking. In fact, in the past, as we've gone around, we really make the appeal for money pretty soft. It's not a hard sell at all. It's a very much of a soft sell, but it's still very much needed for them to continue what they're doing out in the world and to represent us in the good ways they have up till now in these last 75 years.
And I know in what you do as a global fellow, part of what they want you to do is to teach people, right? To educate people about the opportunities, about the work of Catholic Relief Services, and And I just want to make sure people understand you're available to do that.
Yes, I am. I am available to, I've been around at a few parishes and preached on their behalf. I have been to some adult education programs around the diocese that people have invited me to, which I appreciate very much, and have been well received at those and able to answer questions and all of that. Yeah, it's a, I'll go just about anywhere, just about any time to represent.
Fitting it in with CRS. Those other duties that we outlined.
Yeah, fitting, already. Yeah. I got to cram it into the calendar. Yeah,
but you can do.
Yeah.
Best way to reach you if somebody is interested in following up with you? Just at St. Mike's, probably?
Is at, probably at St. Michael Parish at 605-361-1600. Or easy email is deacondev@gmail.com.
Can't go wrong with that one. Right. Deacondev. We'll give that again later when we wrap up. I know one of the things that you and your wife Mary do at St. Michael's is you make the fair trade materials available. You sell them every so often. You make them available to people.
Yeah, we try to provide a market. That's the biggest thing that fair trade products need is a market in which to sell. The co-ops are set up. The one we use is one that's a partner of Catholic Relief Services called Equal Exchange. They have lots of coffee, different types from all over the world, from Central and South America, from Africa, from different places that they are using to allow the people in those areas to be paid an equitable price for their product. And with Equal Exchange, anything that's a partner with CRS, they have to be beyond fair trade. They have to be ethical trade. So every step of the way from production all the way to the consumer, packaging, shipping, everything has to be done in an equitable fashion so that all persons are treated well and that the product that comes out is truly an organic, good product.
Yeah. I'll attest to some of the coffees. I've tried a couple of different ones of them. They're really good.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. My wife has her favorites, but we always have some of them at home. And yeah, they are good coffee.
So if other parishes were interested in doing something like that, is that something they can set up?
Oh, most certainly. Or I can, and all they'd have to do is get a hold of me and I could assist them in doing it. Yeah. We, you know, people ask us, well, what do you do with the money that you get from selling the coffee? We just buy more coffee.
Yeah.
You know, we just keep buying more coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not anything we're trying to turn a profit on. We're just trying to open markets for fair trade products because in the world, it's a very much a necessary thing. Many of the coffee farmers, cocoa farmers in different areas of the world really are not treated well by international brokers who make deals with them at the beginning of growing seasons and then break them at the end and don't pay the people near what their product is worth or what they promised to pay them. And so these co-ops really take care of them well.
I always get this image of the old Steinbeck book and movie, The Grapes of Wrath, and how the laborers were treated. And that image always comes into my mind. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Oh, yes, very much so. We experienced it when Mary and I were in Guatemala in 2002. The nuns that we were with there took us down where some of those things happened with fruit. And, oh, my gosh, it was just despicable the way the people who were bringing their products to sell to some big international brokers who deal with some big companies, names that you would know in the United States that are stuck on bananas and things like that, that really were unequitable, just terrible ways to treat people.
If we keep in mind that the God that created me is the same God that created you, is the same God that created each of those people, does that help us?
Yes. Yes, very much.
Because I think we forget that.
That's the idea. Yeah, well, of course, that's one of the Catholic social teaching tenets of solidarity.
Yeah.
We are brother, sister, father, mother, everything with every person in the world, regardless of anything that we might think divides us in race or religion or nationality. We're all stuck together in this.
Yeah.
And that's the way God made it. And
Maybe that helps us if we're trying to understand, you know, why we should care about the some of these things that we're talking about today. One other idea I want to throw out there is that it's the gift-giving season coming soon. And I know that just on CRS.org, CRS.org, there's a whole gift section.
Yes.
So to kind of further what you're talking about in terms of this ethical trade and the opportunities to support small merchants or small producers of things around the world, you can do that.
Yes, you can by going, like you said, going on their website, CRS.org, then just looking at the different ways to give. And they have ways where you can buy goats or chickens or help people with seed or different ways to assist them in just getting a leg up. And then most people in those areas know what to do once they have the investment, the little bit that they need. They'll turn it into a living for themselves and their families.
Yep. Yeah, very good. You mentioned to me before we started today that in your time last week, they outlined some pretty ambitious goals of what Catholic Relief Services is hoping to do.
Yes, I was really pretty surprised by. They've been here 75 years. They talked a lot about their history, where they came from, and since it's their 75th year, they thought, well, this is a good time to really kind of rework what we can do in the world, what we hope in the world, and what might be the most effective things in the world. And one of their biggies, which I thought was pretty incredible, was ending malaria in the world. And of course, sitting here in the middle of the United States, especially in South Dakota, what's malaria? You know, that doesn't mean anything. But 1 million people a year still die from malaria, mostly in Africa. Sub-Saharan Africa, some in Central and South America. And this was the one that just really blew me. The 300 to 600 million people every year are infected with malaria. They don't die, but they get it.
Wow.
And if children, people with respiratory problems, elderly get it, those are the people who
they're vulnerable.
Have the biggest problems with it, and it might end their lives. And so it's a very ambitious goal. They're also a real strong goal because of all the movement of peoples that have been in the world, you know, 60-some million refugees in the world right now. Families get split up. People have to leave in a hurry from this place and that. Families get divided because they can't leave together. So they are, one of their objectives is reuniting all those families. Catholic Relief Services is in all of those refugee areas and is able to assist people in finding their families again.
Wow.
If at all possible, they'll make it happen. They're trying to end the death by starvation in the world, which is still, it's better. A few years ago, it was 24,000 people a day died of starvation, mostly children. Today it's down to 16,000 or 17,000
a day
for starvation or the effects of malnutrition.
Right,
you know, it might be some other thing that kills you, but it's because your body is so weak and malnourished that it can't fend off any type of infection. So that's one of their goals by 2030. Hopefully they can do it. I'm praying that. They can. Another thing we don't think much about in the United States, but it's very much a reality in many places in the world. But their big thing is the integral human development that they want to do everywhere. That's their favorite work. That's what they like to do. Work with populations on ways to insulate themselves from drought or any other climate changes that might happen that affect crops. They try to help them put plans together that would keep them going even in those tougher times.
I'm assuming they must be working with other agencies. I mean, this isn't something they can possibly do all these things by themselves.
No, their biggest partner in the world is Caritas.
Right.
Caritas is another Catholic agency, which almost every diocese in the world has.
Right.
They have a Caritas agency attached to the diocese, and they work through those diocese. A lot of times Catholic Relief Services isn't the one doing the work. Caritas is, but they're supporting them with in different ways, with personnel maybe, or with funds that can assist those agencies in getting out and doing what needs to be done. Because they know what, they know their diocese better than anyone else. They know what can happen.
So back to the Catholic social teaching, we talked about solidarity. Mm-hmm. This is where the subsidiarity comes into play.
Assist people in the ways, and the ones that are closest to it know what the needs are.
Yeah. Here's the beauty, isn't it, of the Catholic Church, the universal Catholic Church, is that we really can have that kind of an impact.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the one thing that many years ago, I looked up the word Catholic from, you know, you take it all the way down to its etymology. It comes from two Greek words, kata and holic, and the basic meaning is of or pertaining to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know, so if you're Catholic.
That's it.
It means everything's your business.
Yeah.
All of these, especially those things with the poor, as Jesus reminds us over and over again in the Gospels, especially in Matthew chapter 25, he really unites himself with the poor and the marginalized, and we, as his church, need to be doing the same thing.
Well, if we want to know Jesus better, we probably should know the poor better.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll leave it at that. Deacon John Devlin, who is a global fellow for Catholic Relief Services, is available, as we said, to come out and talk really about any aspect of this or in more detail, obviously, if, as time would allow. And again, best to contact you how, John?
Deacon Dev, DEACONDEV, as in Victor, at gmail.com, or just call me at St. Michael Parish, 605-361-1600.
Or you can also go to, as we mentioned, the CRS website, crs.org. You can find a lot of information there. Probably could even track you down through that website.
You can, yes.
So if you can't think of anything else, go to that. Thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you again, Jerry. Love to be here with you on CRS especially.
Amen. Gene, believe it or not, it's that time of year when you can already purchase Christmas at the Cathedral tickets.
It is hard to believe. Time just keeps flying by, and that is a hot ticket every year. So people should jump on the bandwagon and get those tickets right away if they want them.
Multiple ways you can go about doing that. You can go to ccfesd.org and buy them online that way. Call 988-3765. You can get them that way. Or if you're in the Sioux Falls area, any Sioux Falls Hy-Vee location has those tickets.
So plenty of opportunities and plenty of tickets right now, but they'll go fast.
They probably will. And so it's always a great show. Hope people get a chance to see it. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.